Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Steve Jones, great to have you with us on the Steve Jones Show today. We're going to have a lot of fun, including Matt Leon, to talk about the Eagles' big matchup coming up with the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be Sunday Night Football. We had Merrill Reese on the show yesterday. Had a great time talking to the legendary play-by-play voice, Merrill Reese, who I think sounds better than ever. And, of course, you can hear the games on Eagle 107. On Sunday night, as always with Philadelphia Eagles football. Of course, the Steelers won last night, taking out the Tennessee Titans. That was actually a pretty good Thursday night game for a period of time. The key was the Walker drop in the end zone last night. That was huge in that game. The Steelers were winning 23-14. Walker catches that one. You tack on the extra points, 23-21. Dynamics are a bit different. Instead, he dropped it. Tennessee settled for a field goal, and you just felt on the road that the air went out of the balloon for Tennessee last night. And the Steelers ended up winning that game. It's a big win for them. They're now 8-2 on the year. Tennessee is still their division leader. All right, that was last night. Eagles coming up at 8:30 on Sunday night. We talked to Merrill Reese yesterday. Matt Leon in just a few minutes. College football playoff. All right, we'll get into the college football playoff standings. Penn State enters the weekend ranked 10th. Nebraska tomorrow, 4 o'clock, 2:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And you need to stock up for the weekend because today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Love talking about Brewers Outlet any time of the year. Doesn't matter if it's the spring or it's the summer, it's hot, you want to get beverages and so forth, all the parties and the 4th of July and Labor Day and so forth. But this time of the year, yeah, Thanksgiving coming up next week. You got college football and pro football this weekend. You have Hanukkah, Christmas coming up, New Year's. You want to make sure you're always fully stocked. And that means you need to go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Now, you have people of varying tastes out there, so some people may want wine coolers, soft drinks, water. They have plenty of that. Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. Sean stocked me up with more pickles yesterday when he came in. Oh, I'm set to go for the weekend. Thank you, Sean. Thank you to Corey as well. And proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Oh, Sunbury Motors. What a great group. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, Matt Leon is going to join us. We'll talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Brad Edwards on the college football playoff. And look, I mean, I know some people will bypass this. I know the college football playoff committee is going to bypass this. But I've talked about this on the show about that I think just to send a message for a week. Tell the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Auburns and the Georgias, hey, look, in the thick of the race for the college football playoff, don't schedule like this. Now, Jack Ham, faithful listener, he and I talked the other day. He says, I absolutely agree. He says, you're darn right they should. He says, why does everybody else have to go out there and risk it while they're out there playing Mercer, the Citadel, and people like that? I said, exactly. Jack's exactly right. That's how I feel. All right, coming up, Eagles and Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. You'll hear it on Eagle 107. Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia, joins us next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Beautiful Friday out there. Any Friday's really nice, isn't it? Think about it. You got high school football playoff tomorrow, Bellefonte Sealands Grove. You got Penn State football tomorrow, Nebraska Beaver Stadium. You got Wisconsin and Michigan coming up this weekend, USC, UCLA. You know, the Steelers played last night, beat Tennessee. You got the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. You want to sit there and enjoy it. That means you need to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. Sean, Corey, thank you for stocking me up yesterday. Oh, that was great. When I was done with the talk show last night with Sandy Barber and James Franklin, came home, you know, had a little dinner. Had a barrel of pickles. Great. Oh. And, of course, Sunbury Motors. You know, we talk about you can get great gift cards, by the way, over at Brewers Outlet. They would make a great holiday gift. Car. Vehicle. Vehicle would be great. Huh? See that in that driveway? Little bow. Big bow. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, welcome. It is always great to hear you on the other end.
Good to be with you.
How was the time off?
Happy. I missed what you were saying, and they were plugging me in, so I just botched whatever joke it was.
I said the Eagles were off this week. I said, you were in the Bahamas with a beverage in your hand.
Oh, yeah, you know me. Yeah, always jetting away at the drop of a hat. So.
Absolutely. Well, look, 8-1, timing couldn't have been any better, right, for this? I mean, they've got this, and then they depleted Cowboys next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Last year they had the bye. I think they were in the first group of byes, like week five.
Yeah.
And they were never really the same after that. This week it comes, I think if you ask most coaches, you know, when would you like to have it, and I think they would say, you know, week 9 or 10, right in the middle. And that's where the Eagles got it. Got a little rest and get ready for a Dallas team that, you know, everybody's going to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, but their issues on the offensive line, I think, are a bigger story going forward. Because I honestly felt bad for that tackle for the Cowboys last night, who was just getting abused by the Falcons.
Adrian Claiborne had 6 sacks in the game. I don't know if he's had 6 sacks in the last 2 years combined.
Those were like, you know, really physical sacks. These weren't like, you know, tripping up a guy or running a guy out of bounds at some point. These were full on off the edge, you know, look out below sacks consistently. So the Cowboys have issues, and you know, when you're putting together a season, you got to get some breaks. And I think the Eagles have gotten a break, not only as we mentioned with the bye, but a situation like this. They played Dallas 3 weeks ago. Who knows? You know, at least on paper here going forward, everything points in their direction, I think.
No question. So now here in the second half, which, by the way, has given them more time to integrate Jay Ajayi into what they're doing and so forth, in this second half, where there are going to be expectations, what should be better about Philadelphia?
I think, as you mentioned, Ajayi should be better. I think the defense will be better. It sounds like they're going to get Ronald Darby back on Sunday, who hasn't played since week one when he hurt his ankle. And I think one of the great storylines of this season is when Darby got hurt week one, they had problems in the secondary before they traded for Ronald Darby. And everybody felt better when they made the deal. And when he got hurt, people really set up kind of a red alert that they were going to be in serious trouble in the secondary. And one of the great storylines is how these young cornerbacks and journeyman cornerbacks have stepped up. And, you know, now it's a question of they've got so much depth back there. How are they going to work everybody in? I think obviously Darby goes to the top of the list, but these other kids have played well. They've demanded, you know, they demand more playing time, and they're not guys that are going to hide on their nuts. They're not going to be able to just shelf on the sideline. So it's a nice problem to have, but, you know, I think they're going to be there. I think the defense will continue to kind of come together because I think the defense has gotten better as the season's going on. So there's really a lot to like about the direction they're going right now.
The fact that Jason Peters, who is as good as it gets at playing left tackle, isn't there any longer, yet they have continued to play at a high level. What does that tell you about the entire offensive line, not just the replacement at left tackle?
I think it shows that it's a group that works well together. I think you kind of work the inside out. Jason Kelce has kind of returned to form. After some down years, he's been really good this year. They've gotten good guard play. Brandon Brooks has really been a road grader. Lane Johnson has been Lane Johnson. I think the whole thing that's kind of a recurring theme when we talk about the secondary and we talk about the offensive line, this is really a group that believes in one another, and this is a group that is playing with an incredibly high level of confidence, and that's why I think you're able to see them overcome a lot of these things, because they have had, you know, some serious injuries, and this has not been a blessed year as far as, you know, health is concerned.
Right.
You know, they've had to overcome a lot of that, and I think it's because you've got a group that is bought in, a group that really is playing for one another, and I think that helps when it does come to the, you know, here you kind of roll your eyes whenever you hear coaches talk about next man up and stuff like that. It's so cliche.
Right.
But I think in order for that to work, guys have to believe what they're fighting for, and I think you got a locker room here that really believes that whatever happens, whoever they have to plug in, the coaches are going to put them in the best position, and everybody's going to, you know, step up their game to support them. And I think that's what it really shows. And that's kind of a common thing at all these groupings that we talk about individually, is that it's just a group that, you know, is playing well together and obviously enjoys playing together.
We talked a couple weeks ago about the play calling of Doug Peterson. Guys, now you get a real feel after him being a year and a half in, what kind of play caller he is and so forth, especially with more talent. What about the job Jim Schwartz has done on defense and how he's called games?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. I think, and it kind of starts with him. They are able to get a consistent pass rush with the front four. Right. They are not a group that has to blitz to get consistent pressure on the quarterback. And when you can do that, when you can consistently just send four and put the quarterback under pressure, opens up the entire defensive playbook. You can do whatever you want. And I think he has pushed the right buttons. I think he has to get credit. We talked about how the secondary has stepped up. Well, I think he has to get credit for putting the guys in the right position as they try to kind of felt their way along there for a few weeks before things really got settled in. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a name thrown around for a head coaching job, you know, come the off season. Whether, you know, he would leave or something like really serious would heat up. But you know how it is. January 2nd, January 3rd, we always hear the list of about 10 guys that are up for a head coaching job. I would be surprised if he's not on that list.
We know who the better players are in this team. Has there been a quiet guy in this group where you sit back and say, you know what, that's been such a difference maker that may fly under the radar because of stars?
I think we've talked about him a lot. I think Nelson Aguilar has been really, really important. This is a year they needed him to blossom. Or I shouldn't say that. They needed him. This was probably his last year to blossom. They took a lot of the pressure off with Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. And, you know, Aguilar's not a guy that's going 5 for 120 every week, but he's catching the ball when it's thrown to him. And that sounds trite, but it's something he really struggled with his first couple of years in the NFL. And he's made clutch catches. He's made tough catches. And you can just see he's a different guy there, body language, confidence-wise. Another guy that's played really, really well that I don't think anybody expected anything from, going back to the secondary, Patrick Robinson.
Yeah.
Journeyman, you know, played with the Saints. Or honestly, early on in training camp, you didn't hear many good things about him. And some people speculated he might not even make the team out of training camp. But he has been great. He has had a nose for the football. You know, we talk about the young cornerbacks, guys like Rasul Douglas and Jalen Mills. Well, he's kind of been a good anchor back there, a veteran presence that has a really, really, not just kind of steady thing, but I think has been a plus player and really, really helped them in the secondary. So that's a couple of guys. And another guy, you know, I don't want to say under the radar because when he kicked the 61-yarder, he had the nation's attention. But Jake Elliott's been really good at kicking the football, not just giving them consistency on field goals and the ability to kick long field goals, which has done a really good job on kickoffs. So a lot to like there as well.
Yale has clinched at least a title, share of it at least, in the Ivy League. Columbia and Dartmouth evidently remain in the hunt. Has this been as crazy an Ivy League season as you've seen down there?
Oh, and no question about it. And Yale's the best team. I've seen everybody but Cornell. Yale is the most complete team.
And great win by Penn to beat Harvard 23-6 like that. I mean, Trey Solomon, that'd be fun calling that 77-yarder.
Oh, that's one. You're still setting up, you know, what the conditions are, because we didn't have a pregame on Sunday, so or Saturday, so it's hi, how you doing? Oh, by the way, there goes Trey Solomon for a 77-yard touchdown. No, well, you know what it is, you know, Columbia had always been a team that for decades, you could pretty much pencil in a W. Some years it might be a little harder than others, but You know, Columbia was a W. That's not the case anymore. Al Bagnoli, as we expected to do, I don't know if people expected the former Penn coach to do it in year three, but he's turned them around, made them a viable title contender, and they are still in play for a shot at the title. And they're going to really put pressure on Yale this weekend because they play Brown, who's winless in the Ivy League and the only team that hasn't been in contention in the league. And no, Yale's got to play Harvard. Is Yale better than Harvard? Absolutely. You know, pretty much across the board. But it's the game. It's Harvard season.
Right.
So you're going to get an A-plus effort from Harvard. And if, you know, if Harvard can pull the upset there, then Yale's going to have to share that crown. But no, up and down. I thought Cornell was another team that I didn't think was going to come out of them. They've pulled some big upsets this year and really leveled things up. So what you have, you don't have a dominant team. Is Yale the best team? Yes, but they're not a dominant team. And then you've got six teams in the middle that we could probably redo the schedule, and you'd probably get completely different results across the board because they're that even, depending on who you play and when you play them.
Right, exactly. And then, there, of course, Columbia's got Brown this weekend, and Brown hasn't won an Ivy League game. They played that game at Fenway Park and lost to Dartmouth the other night, so on Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday night. Their defense battles and can do some things to make life difficult, but offensively they're just not getting the quarterback play, and they just struggle putting drives together, and it really shows.
Hey, Buddy Tevens' robots, tougher to tackle. All right, leave it at that. My friend, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time. Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Always a pleasure to talk with him. All right, coming up, Brad Edwards. We'll break down the college football playoff for you. We'll do that in just a few moments. Of course, Alabama is number one, Clemson two, Miami three, Oklahoma four, and Wisconsin is sitting at number five. They have that noon matchup coming up tomorrow against Michigan. I know it's November, but that game has a primetime feel to it, and it's, again, November is, they really don't want to play, obviously, night games in November. Just surprised it wasn't a late afternoon game, but Penn State has the 4 o'clock slot, and Michigan and Wisconsin has that noon spot tomorrow. USC-UCLA is tomorrow night. All right, coming up at the show, we'll talk with Brad Edwards about all this and more. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket imports domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine cooler, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts, freshen out every day, and all together now, the pickle bar is second to none. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bottom of the hour news coming up, and then Brad Edwards from ESPN Radio College Game Day will join us in a few moments on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
20 by the 20th.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to sell 20 Hyundais by November 20th to keep up with manufacturer demands.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai
from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Save $5,000
on a 2017 Hyundai Elantra SE
starting at $15,170.
Buy a $24,820 Hyundai Sonata for only
$19,370.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all Hyundais to levels never seen before to reach their 20 Hyundai sold by November 20th. The nimble Hyundai Tucson has sacrificed by over $3,000 to an unbelievable
$23,318.
And the mid-sized Hyundai Santa Fe Sport has $46,99 knocked off. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to be on your list for your next import vehicle. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Elantra and Sonata listed for SMC loaner vehicles.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, stock up for the weekend, stock up for the Thanksgiving holiday right now. Do it at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And yes, all together now, after Sean restocked me yesterday, the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Hey, think about gift cards for the holidays, too, at Brewers Outlet. Makes a great gift. All right, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 1926, the Chicago Blackhawks played their first ever NHL game. In 1940, the Green Bay Packers became the first NFL team to travel by plane. 1968, this is the anniversary of the Heidi game. NBC cut away from the final minutes of a Jets-Oakland Raiders game to begin a TV special, Heidi, on schedule. The Raiders came back to beat the Jets in the waning moments, 43-32. Because of that, 60 Minutes will be seen in its entirety following the NFL. That's why you hear that announcement every week. 1982, the NFL reduced its 16-game schedule to 9 as a result of the 57-day players' strike. 1997, Mario Lemieux was voted into the NHL Hall of Fame. And in 2003, Barry Bonds of the San Francisco Giants became the first Major League player to receive 6 National League MVP awards. And that's this day in sports history. Time now to bring in Brad Edwards. It was great to have Brad in town a few weeks ago for the Michigan game. Time now for us to take a look at that college football playoff and how it's playing out and what the committee is doing. Brad, welcome. It is an absolute pleasure.
Oh, doing well. Unfortunately, things for your team there have not been as good since that night. That night was the high point, and unfortunately, it's tailed off a little bit, but still a great season, just when expectations that high, hard to feel good about it.
Yeah, you adjust along the way, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. You do a lot of work, Brad, and you understand the metric points and so forth. How is the College Football Playoff Committee doing so far in their weekly snapshots?
One of the difficulties they seem to have every year is coming up with the best explanation or why they rank teams where they do. You know,
yeah.
I think we all acknowledge that given the different criteria they have to work with, you could give them a set of rankings and just ask them to justify them, and they probably could. The question is, do they do it in a way where the explanations are consistent week after week, season after season? And I don't think that's always the case. Like, for example, this past week, there were a lot of people who were annoyed, not necessarily where Oklahoma was ranked, but the explanation for why they were ranked there.
That's right.
And, you know, exactly. So you have what the committee chair said is that Oklahoma they really couldn't justify rank them higher than fourth because they lost to a 4-loss Iowa State team. It's like, well, wait. You had Iowa State ranked in your own top 25 last week, and they almost beat Oklahoma State, but because they didn't, you dropped them out, and now you're acting like that's a bad loss for Oklahoma.
So it's okay to lose.
While at the same time, they're saying that Clemson, they're basically forgiving Clemson's loss to 4-6 Syracuse because Clemson's quarterback was injured in the first half.
Right.
So, you know, that doesn't make sense. I mean, the far easier explanation, as far as I'm concerned, based on what they've said in the past, would have been if they just come out and said, hey, you know what, Clemson has X number of good wins, the number of good wins for Miami and Oklahoma don't match Clemson. Plus, we're looking at the entirety of the season, not just reacting to what happened last week. We're looking at the entirety of the season, and Miami and Oklahoma – both had a stretch of 4 games in a row that were decided by one possession against teams that are not in the top 25. They weren't then, and they still aren't. And if they had said it that way, I think people would understand it better. But right. The way they tried to explain it just didn't fly.
So you're trying to tell me that a 6-loss Syracuse team was a better loss? Right? The last I checked, Brad, that Clemson this season, when they beat Auburn, for example, has been hanging its hat on its defense. And on a night where they gave up 30-plus, they lost. I think I've got it.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, Clemson, they're an interesting team because I look at them and I don't see a weakness. I mean, I think they're good at every position. I'm not sure they're great anywhere other than the defensive line. And one of the things we talked about before the season started is if you're ranking defensive lines, I think most people would say Clemson's defensive line, the starting unit, is the best starting unit in college football. But if you were to take the entire defensive line, including the depth, right, a lot of people would go with Ohio State instead. And what we saw that night at Syracuse was that that group of four starters on the defensive line, they got worn down with Syracuse's tempo, and they just they weren't the same in the second half. And, of course, part of that could have been their quarterback was out. They weren't picking up first downs and kept giving the ball right back to Syracuse. It's all connected in some way.
Sure it is.
But you're right. I mean, that great Clemson defense, they got it handed to them that night, and there's no mention of that by the committee.
I know Alabama's undefeated, and that's actually I got a sense about the Miami-Notre Dame game early, so I decided to switch over, Brad, to watch Mississippi State-Alabama. I watched much more of that. I don't think there's a dominant team out there, but I give Alabama's coaching staff a lot of credit. They've had to coach around some things that maybe they haven't had to coach around before, and it looks like they're doing a really good job with it.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And you know, you guys know, you went through this Penn State last September in terms of just a bunch of injuries at linebacker. And you get to a point where you got guys out there you weren't expecting to be out there, and they're not ready to be out there. And that's where Alabama is right now. I've heard so many people say, oh, Alabama's just got all those 4- and 5-star guys. They just plug the next guy in, it'll be fine. They have 85 scholarships just like everyone else. And when you have 85, you only have so many that play linebacker. And when you lose 4 of those guys, now you've got some true freshmen out there. You've got one former walk-on who's out there. And the defensive front is just not the same. The last 2 weeks, LSU and Mississippi State, I wouldn't say they've run all over them. That's not the way to characterize it. But it's very un-Alabama-like, the way that you've seen guys get like 3 yards before they get hit.
Right.
And then instead of getting pushed backward, they fall forward for another 3 or 4 or push forward. And so those last two opponents keep ending up in third and short or at least third and manageable. And you're not used to seeing that with Alabama. It's usually third and long for most of the game. And because of that, their defense has not been able to get off the field as much. The offense has, you know, not had as many opportunities. And look, last week they got taken to the limit by a pretty good team on the road. And like you said, give them credit, because on a day where home field advantage was leading to some blowout wins in some other big games, Alabama managed to do just enough to stay undefeated.
Brad, you and I both know that the SEC, which has 8 conference games like the ACC does, while others, Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10, have 9 conference games, I've always felt the SEC has brilliantly scheduled it in such a way where, you know, you got Tennessee, Florida early, then you got another week with another big game like Alabama, Texas A&M. Makes it seem like they're playing SEC football all 12 weeks of the season. This week you've got Alabama, Mercer, Clemson, and the ACC is going to take on Citadel. In the weekly snapshot, is it possible for the college football committee to make a statement of like, hey, what are you doing here? Or is that something that is either A, irrelevant to do, or they don't have the guts to do?
Well, I don't know if it's irrelevant, but I do know the way that the committee supposedly looks at it. I remember last year their explanation for why they took Ohio State over Penn State was essentially, they didn't say it in these words, but what I've read between the lines is that their definition of whether one team is better than another one, it's not who is better at the moment that they put out the final rankings. In other words, who would you least like to play if you're an opponent?
Right.
It's who is better over the entirety of the season, from week one all the way through, you know, 12 or 13 or game 12 or 13, counting every game the same. They're all equally valid data points. And if you're going to look at it that way as a selection committee, that every game carries equal weight or every week does, then it really doesn't matter if you're the SEC, whether you play the cupcake in the middle of November or whether you play the cupcake in September when everyone else is playing them. And now, granted, you're right. They're getting one extra cupcake because they have one fewer conference game. But like I hear people make that argument all the time. Oh, you know, how can you, you know, give these teams credit for playing these opponents? Well, they're the same types of opponents that everyone else is playing. They just took one of them out of September and moved it to November.
Right.
But yeah, it does give you somewhat of an advantage, which is why they all do it now. Which it gives a little bit of a breather before you play that rivalry game, and especially if you're going to end up in the conference championship game, kind of a chance to regroup before you go on that tough 2-week stretch. So I just think the way the committee looks at it, it would be kind of hypocritical for them to say that it's a bigger deal to play that game in November than it is September when they're supposedly counting all those games the same no matter when they're played.
Yeah, that's what they're supposedly doing, yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly doing. I mean, you and I both know one of the big reasons was the Ohio State-Oklahoma game last year.
Right.
That was a big reason why. It had nothing to do with the other non-conference games that the team played.
So tell me this, Steve. If they come out in a couple weeks and Ohio State has won the Big Ten and they end up taking Ohio State into the playoff for basically the opposite reason that they took Ohio State last year. In other words, if they decide that at the end, okay, we're going to take Ohio State with two losses over a one-loss Miami that maybe lost the ACC championship game, right, because the conference championship is important. You know, like
I know, and I know where you're going here.
And the other side would be, well, we're just looking at the teams and we just think Ohio State is just a better team than Miami.
All right.
So you're doing eye test, you're doing conference championship, when those were the things that didn't matter last year. That's exactly what I'm expecting to happen.
Right. And see, I agree with you. I'm expecting that to happen too here along the way, because there's no consistency. I mean, what they do every week to me, Brad, and you tell me, I feel like every week there's obviously certain logic that comes into play. I mean, anybody could see some logic, but I feel like it's a guess every week.
I mean, look, I think to some extent it always is going to be a guess, no matter who you have that's ranking the teams. I mean, how do you really say for sure between Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, who's two, who's three, who's four? I mean, the good news is it really doesn't matter this week, 1 through 7.
Right.
I mean, all of those teams are in a position right now where if they just win the rest of their games, they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
Sure, seeding is something that does make a difference because matchups matter in football.
Is Auburn in if they win the rest of their games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think. See, look, this is what happened last week with Washington losing on Friday night and
right,
giving the Pac-12, you know, at least two losses for every team in that conference. And really, I don't think there's a quality win outside of conference play for anyone in the Pac-12. So the Pac-12, as of last Friday night, done. And then Notre Dame losing on Saturday, you took that variable away,
right,
where there's no team outside of the Power Five that's got a chance to get in. And so we're basically now with four spots for four Power Five conferences. The only question is, could something happen within, say, the Big Ten or the Big 12 that would make it easier for the committee or maybe not easier, give the committee very little choice, but to take a second team from the SEC or the ACC rather than the champion of the Big Ten or the Big 12. That's really all we're waiting to see play out. But if Wisconsin is undefeated, at this point, there's nothing standing in their way,
right,
in my opinion.
Right, exactly. In fact, playing Michigan this week helps them. Then they close. I think they got Minnesota. Then it would be the Big Ten championship game. They would at least have in metrics some quality down the stretch that would justify automatically getting it as an undefeated team. I mean, they'd have what,
yeah,
they need at that point.
Yeah, and look, this will be the second straight week they will have played a team ranked in the committee's top 25,
right,
at the time of the game. And then obviously if they win the conference championship game, that's going to be the highest ranked team they would have beaten all year.
Brett, I would mention a Penn State part to this. The New Year's Six still has great significance. At 10, is Penn State positioned for a New Year's Six if they win out, in your opinion, or is the Central Florida factor a big one here?
I think they should be. I really haven't looked at that closely with that in mind, but,
right.
But obviously some of the teams ahead of them are going to lose. That's kind of where you start.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, that's right. There will be teams that will lose in front of them because they play each other.
Yeah. So I know with the Rose and the Sugar being the semifinal games this year, that unfortunately being the second team out of the Big Ten is not going to get you in the Rose Bowl like it would,
right.
Like it did last year,
right.
For example. Although they technically weren't the second team in the Big Ten, they just were according to the selection committee, as I'm sure you've hashed out many, many times. So, as I look at it, the Orange Bowl, that slot is supposed to go to the highest ranked team between the SEC and the Big Ten.
Right.
Up against the ACC representative, whoever that ends up being. And so, if Alabama were to win out and Alabama gives Auburn a third loss and Georgia a second loss, does Penn State move over both of those teams, and would they end up over the Big Ten championship game losers? This is getting kind of
right.
tough.
I guess that's where it gets tough.
The more I look at it, I really don't know that Wisconsin losing to Ohio State, if that's their only loss, would fall behind Penn State. I don't think they would. So Penn State's probably not going to be in the Orange Bowl. I guess it would be my first conclusion.
Right.
But I'd be really surprised if they don't end up in one of the other New Year's Six games.
Brad, absolute pleasure. You and I both know we could hash this out for a couple of hours.
And I'll be doing exactly that on Saturday. You get to focus on a couple teams, but I get to talk about all this stuff even more.
You get to work on about 60 of them. I get two. All right.
Yeah.
appreciate your time as always, Brad. It's always great information. I always enjoy the conversation very much.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve, and we had a great time in State College, and hopefully we'll be able to make a return trip very soon.
We look forward to seeing you when that happens.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Brad Edwards, ESPN College Game Day. Great to have him with us on the show today, breaking down the college football playoffs. Still to come in the next hour, our picks, well, evidently have closed the gap, for whatever that means. I will be accused at some point of celebrating and gloating and so forth, and I have no idea what games I picked. So I do know I picked Auburn to beat Georgia. That one I do know. And I do know I picked Notre Dame to beat Miami. That I remember. So that's 1-1. So I don't know where I made up ground. I have no idea. All right. So that's coming up in the next hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Think about gift cards. Holidays are coming up. And also make sure you never show up empty-handed, all right? And always make sure you're prepared when somebody shows up at your place, whether it's Thanksgiving or any of the holidays. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is indeed second to none. Plenty of free parking, plenty of help in that well-laid-out facility to get those cases of the car and make sure you're fully stocked. And if you want to be associated with the best, you want to make sure you're going around with a nameplate that says Sunbury Motors on it. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Penn State basketball coming up tonight. 7 o'clock will be the tip-off, 6:30 the airtime with Columbia. Fourth game for the Nittany Lions in the last 8 days. Then after this, it's off to Brooklyn for the Legends Classic on Monday night. Late game with Pitt at Brooklyn at the home of the Brooklyn Nets. That'll be a 9:30 game on Monday night with a 9 o'clock airtime. So we'll do the show Monday from Brooklyn. Coming up, the second hour of the show. Looking forward to it. Thanks for being with us today as we head into the weekend on News Radio 1070 WKOK.